from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It is time for the Front Office Report, and the Front Office Report is brought to you by Time Out Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof, timeoutmarket.com, and by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Craig, Chris Curtis in for Greg. How are you this morning?
Okay. Good.
Sorry about that. Good morning, Craig. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Nice road trip, 4-3. How are you feeling this morning as you guys return home with a day off before taking on the Diamondbacks?
Yeah, it was a really good road trip. Certainly there were probably a couple more games we could have won, but any time, you head on the road for 7 games and you play in Baltimore for 4 and then Houston for 3 and walk away with a winning record, I think you absolutely have to take it. We saw a lot of good things, maybe the pitching staff stabilize a little bit. The rotation gave us a chance to win. This turn through bullpen, especially over the last 2 days, has really taken a step forward. And then we saw, Jaron Duran continue to be a spark plug at the top of the lineup. Seemed like he, single-handedly was responsible for scoring runs in the beginning of those games in Houston. Sedan had a really great series on both sides of the ball, making highlight plays on defense and contributing with the bat in meaningful ways. Massa continued to stay really hot. So a lot of really, really good things.
11 games over .500. You have the second most road wins in all of Major League Baseball behind only the Orioles. What is it about your team that allows it to excel away from Fenway?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. We spent a ton of time thinking about that. Alex and I often joke about, do we try to put the guys up in a hotel? Do we have a team bus to Fenway? Because we've got to figure out how to win more games at home. tomorrow night is a good place to start.
Craig, the players have acknowledged knowing the importance of the last series, and Alex Cora has acknowledged the fact of your standings and keeping up with where you guys are. How important is it for you that players and Alex Cora know where you're at, know the importance of games, but don't focus too much on that?
Yeah, I would love to lie to you and say nobody looks at what's happening, around the league, and nobody looks at how the other teams that we're chasing are playing. It's not true, especially, as you approach late August and into September, and players are no different. But I think what we have to try to do is recognize that reality while also maintaining focus on what we need to do, and that's win the games that are in front of us. What happens around the rest of the league doesn't really matter if we don't play good baseball and we don't win. It's natural to look around. I think Alex deserves a ton of credit. The players and staff deserve a ton of credit for their ability to maintain focus throughout this season. I think we've talked about that a handful of times on this show, whether it's injuries or, outside narratives, Alex's contract situation. That group has done a great job of focusing on their play on the field, on getting better, and as a result, we find ourselves in this position playing really meaningful games.
Craig, when you look at, you say, the reality of, where you are, looking at the schedule. What's the reality for, you know, let's say the beginning of September, midway through September, where you feel like you need to be when it comes to being within striking distance? Hopefully you're holding on to one of those wild card spots, but is there a specific, like, two games back, you know, game and a half back? Like, is there a specific place you'd like to be, you know, beginning midway through September?
You know, I'm not sure that there is, because anytime you're in a position where, you know, you need other teams to lose games, you know, it's to, you know, kind of by definition out of your control. So we would love to be in a place where, hey, you know, if we take care of our games, you know, we'll be fine. That's not the case today as things currently stand. But we also know that this is a really tough stretch for us, you know, in playing teams that will be going to the playoffs, and we need to make sure that we can hold our own. And I think, you know, we've largely done that, but I think as a general rule, for me, kind of being within, you know, three games means that you're never more than kind of a series out of things. But at some point we're going to run out of time, and we need to start leapfrogging teams.
What's a successful season for you, Craig?
I mean, you know, the obvious answer there is winning the World Series. But I think at the same time, while that is the goal and that's the standard that we should, you know, we should seek to uphold, I think looking at individual players, knowing that our core is young and emerging, and being able to point to material improvements in play is really important. So continuing to shore up, you know, infield defense, stabilize the starting rotation, look at pieces of the bullpen who are emerging that can be counted on to throw leverage innings, not just, you know, in the rest of August and September, but heading into 2025. But there's no doubt that our focus is completely on 2024.
So, but it seems to me that the goal is really that third wild card, because that's the most approachable. Is that not the case? That, I mean, obviously you'd love to win the division, but if you don't make the playoffs, is there a way this was a successful season?
I think it depends on, you know, to your previous question, it depends on how you define success. But I don't think that we can sit here, you know, given where we are right now, and say that, you know, hey, we had a largely successful season. If we fall short of the playoffs, that doesn't mean that we won't be able to find good things in that. But every year, we should strive to make the playoffs. And given that we have a real chance right now, I think we would all be disappointed if we fall short of that.
Craig, the bullpen flipped the script in a good way the last two games. Why do you think that happened, and how do you make sure that that change is here to stay?
Yeah, so I think there are a few things that we can point to. One is, you know, starters going a little bit deeper in general this past turn through, you know, Bayo and Tanner, certainly pitching deeper into games, and you know, Cutter in Baltimore. And I think that allowed the bullpen to stabilize a little bit and not, you know, maybe catch their breath a bit. I think there's probably some positive regression just in terms of pitches that were thrown in the strike zone that had gotten hit hard, you know, to some degree weren't. And then I think there's a little bit of a change in attack and usage, and getting back to attacking the strike zone, thinking about execution. I think we saw a lot more fastballs this last couple of games. And with that, maybe the confidence to attack hitters in the strike zone. I think, you know, Garcia stands out as a guy over the last two nights who was really aggressive in the zone with a sinker. The velocity was up to 97, 98. And, you know, he showed what made us excited to bring him in the first place.
Coming from the world of football, we always talk about young guys hitting a wall, you know, midway through the season. Alex Cora talked about this team having a lot of young kids. You talk about this team having some young players. What are some of the maybe like the obstacles that some of the younger players have to avoid so they don't hit that wall? Or is there something that just every player deals with in baseball when they are a younger player?
Sure. You know, we can collect a ton of information on workload and fatigue and recovery. But the reality is, you know, there's a pretty significant difference in the workloads between a major league season and, you know, even a triple A season, in that our triple A teams are off every Monday, and you know, the season is shorter in the minor leagues, and so a lot of our players are playing more games, they're getting more at bats, they're throwing more innings than they ever have before, and also you know, they're going to be playing important games in the end of September and hopefully beyond. So, you know, I think Alex does a really good job of managing the entire roster, right? And you know, not shying away from using every guy that's on the team. We see that in the bullpen. We see that in pinch hits and being aggressive. And that's one way to balance out the workload. But I'm just not sure there's really any way to kind of simulate this other than to live through it and know that there will be challenges and obstacles when guys need a day. We'll try to be proactive with that. But we're going to be better for, you know, having this young group play through 162 games and hopefully more, and you know, play meaningful games in late September.
Craig, we saw Tristan Casas back helping the club, a couple of big hits on the road trip. Any updates on Liam Hendricks or Trevor Story?
Yeah, so Liam has begun his rehab assignment. That is all going pretty well. We know that it'll be you know, a pretty not terribly lengthy process, but you know, part of the say it's 6 or 7 or 8 games. You know, this isn't exclusively about you know, he needs to throw until he feels like he's capable of getting major league hitters out, you know, which is the case sometimes in other rehab assignments. This is actually part of his rehab. He's still building arm strength and, you know, he's still kind of getting up to game speed and game intensity. With Trevor, he continues to make a ton of progress, and just being around him in the clubhouse, there's a different attitude that he's taking every day. He's excited to go hit and you know, in field. So I think, you know, Liam is certainly on track to come back sooner, but you know, I think there's a real strong chance that Trevor is putting on a Red Sox uniform and helping us at some point.
All right, Craig, that's good to hear. I appreciate your time as always. Good luck against the Diamondbacks, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good morning.
All right, that was Craig Breslow, brought to you by Time Out Market and by Shaw's and Star Market. I understand the hesitance and sort of saying that it's only a success if we win a World Series, that you don't want to say something else.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's already been a successful year when you consider where we thought the team was going to be. Giolito gets hurt. Trevor Story's hurt. You lose Casas for, what, 2-plus months?
Right,
yeah.
And you're sitting here 8 games over .500 with a day off approaching. I think they only have 16 more road games the rest of the season. There will be meaningful games played into mm-hmm. September. And you know the future. Breslow and Cora appear to be working well together. This is the second week in a row where Breslow's, without being asked, brought up his relationship with Cora,
yeah.
Something that he wouldn't even touch on 2 months ago.
I think that that's an important part, you know, saying that it's a success. I think fans won't consider it a team success unless they, you know, make the postseason in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But to what is an easy answer is, well, it's already a success because we've locked up Alex Cora.
Right, but you can't really, like, no, like, manager or front office person or coach will ever kind of say publicly during the season that it's a success. I think after the season, you know, it's a little bit easier to sit there and go, okay, yeah, we viewed that season as being successful even though we didn't make the playoffs. But in the season, that every guy or manager, a coach, a player says, you know, getting to the playoffs and then kind of going from there. But I guarantee you, if they don't make the playoffs and we talk to Craig Breslow after the season and we ask him that same question, he'll probably look and go, yeah, it was a very successful season. We got a lot to build off of. It's not where we wanted to be, but
we can see where we're going.
Yeah.
And we'll see how we get there.
Yeah. So I think most people, like fans, view it as a successful season because you brought it up earlier. I mean, look at the AL East, you know,
right.
When you think
it's absurd.
I mean, think about it. Right? Think about where, you know, if they were in another division or, you know, what this might like, what it might look like.
Right. No, I agree. I want to do this quickly because it's topical. David has a question for Breslow. What should we ask, David?
Mm-hmm. Hey, I don't like that. I think they put too many expectations on the young kids, and they got a surplus of talent in the outfield. So very quickly, they should do something with not Meyer, the Roman Anthony. They should use him as trade bait and go out and get a number one pitcher.
Okay, well, the trade deadline's passed, David. Yeah. We'll get that next year. But I will be sure to ask Craig Breslow that. I hope Florida's treating you well. Let's get to Courtney Cox and what's trending there, Jackson.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Sox take another one against the Astros 4-1, the final on the road. They take that series 2-1. They're off tonight before taking on the Diamondbacks tomorrow at Fenway. Gerard Mayo spoke to media yesterday about the starting quarterback situation, and while Jacoby Brissett remains QB1 for now, he said he will know who the starter is week one by Monday night. Drake May did take some first-team reps yesterday. Mayo had this to say about him.
When it comes to that pre-snap operation for Drake May, is he in a place where if he had to start, you feel like he's ready, or do you feel like he's still kind of coming along?
100%, I think he's ready to run a huddle.
Another day of practice for the Pats today. Closed to the public, but open to media at 1 p.m. ahead of the Pats preseason finale on Sunday against the Commanders. And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
All right. Well, I'm sorry, Boston. This is the last accurate forecast you're going to get for almost 2 weeks. 63 degrees, sunny skies, afternoon high of 75.
With Scheim not producing tomorrow, Big Jack, are you ready to fill the weather shoes?
I mean, I'm not going to fill the shoes, but I will substitute for sure.
Okay, that was a good answer.
Very well done. Very diplomatic.
Good. Yep.
Jackson is basically in the UN. We'll get to the rest of this wild day next.
Call me Boutros Poop.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Boutros Calling.
Greg Hill Show. No Greg. Greg will be back tomorrow. He saw a great performance by Ripe at the Chicken Box. Wiggy decided to turn the invite down.
Yeah, I only go to OB. When I do decide to go, what do they call it? Go on island?
On island.
Yeah. Yeah. Only go to OB.
You would have taken that private jet, though.
I would have taken the private jet, but I said, drop me off at OB.
I will say there was something. It's just, I don't know how to describe it. It is a waste of a private jet just to go to Nantucket, first of all. Second of all, the one that Wiggy and I were on when we went to Atlanta.
Beautiful.
Was so, it was just, it's the most amazing difference. There is no difference in terms of normal versus luxurious like it is when you fly.
Right.
No matter where you're flying, no matter what part of the plane you're flying in, the process of getting to Logan, parking, figuring out the TSA pre-line, getting it through, waiting, the area around a boarding plane is the worst of all of us. They don't listen to instructions. Everybody, mosaic, okay, everybody that's not a mosaic, like boxes the people that actually are out, and I'm not one. I'm not talking about me. It's a disaster. You finally get on the plane, and then you're told you got to wait 20 minutes before you get back. When you go private, you literally walk in. It's whatever you want. You want a fresh banana? You want a sandwich? You want a soda? Whatever. Mm. You walk on the plane. You sit down. Boop. You back up. You go to 45,000 feet. You don't feel anything.
It's crazy.
And then we landed at that. And whenever you go to a Super Bowl, it's chaos around there. We landed at some different airport.
Yeah, I don't know where that was.
And we got we got rear-ended randomly, but we made it to the hotel. That was, oh my God. Anyway,
I've only done it once, but I would say if you're gonna put anything on your bucket list, it would be to at least fly private one time. I know it's not, and I'm with you, Curtis. How long does it take to fly private from here to
Nantucket?
Nantucket.
10 minutes.
I bet that it was, like, my Cape Air flight was, like, a little over 30.
Okay. But if you're on that looked like a nice jet.
Yeah.
You'll get there. I mean, maybe when you sit on the plane and when you get off, it's 30 minutes. But the flying time is about 10 to 15.
Yeah, it's probably, it's up and down.
I feel like it's, like, such a waste of, like, I would be, like, I don't want to waste my private jet opportunity.
No.
Can I reserve that till I'm going, you know, Miami, Atlanta, Houston, someplace, rather than get on it for 30 minutes?
No. And it was the best part of the flight to Atlanta was Wiggs FaceTimed his boys.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, oh.
It was so cool.
It was amazing.
Did you sit forward or backward when you were on?
No.
It was like a couch area.
Yeah, it was like, so it was a bigger jet, so there was a couple areas, so they had the, like, you know, the antipasto trays.
Oh, God, they had tenderloin.
Yum.
Oh.
So I was just like, man, there's no bad seat on a private jet.
No.
I know, we landed, everybody's like, we gotta get moving. I'm like, I'm not getting off this thing.
Right. Can we circle Atlanta for about another hour? I'm enjoying this.
Oh, my God. And then when we were in Minneapolis, this all was because there was this company called Rectrix that sponsored it, they flew us, and then we
talked about Rectrix.
And it wasn't the Minneapolis airport. It was some other place, and it was like 10 degrees. And I just gave the cabbie or Uber, I was like, here's the address. We drive down this, like, long driveway. The security gates open. A guy in a golf cart. It's 10 degrees.
Oh.
He's in a golf cart. And he leads us, and we get out of the Uber. Mm. They take our bags. We walk up. We backed out, and we took off.
Mm.
It was just sitting there, weighted, fueled, two pilots ready to go.
And can I just say 10 degrees out there is a different 10 degrees.
Totally.
Like, that Super Bowl, I was chilled to the bone from start to finish. Like, there was nothing colder that I've ever felt in my life.
Never.
Than being there. It is, like, a chilling to the bone cold.
It goes through you.
Yes.
And the thing about, like, and that's what makes me hate airlines, because
I'm going to do this for the rest of the show, because the people of the Twitch today are so miserable about everything. Go outside, smell the air, carry on.
A nice day. No, and that's the thing, because you spend so much money just fly regular.
Yeah.
Right? And you would think they would make that process nice, comfortable. I hate these Instagrams where people now could say, oh, yeah, you can fly private for the same amount it costs you to travel normal. I'm like, okay, well, please, somebody give me the exact way I could do that. But the airlines are so criminal.
Oh, they're awful. They treat you like crap and you pay for it.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
and
the
you
worst
pay
experience.
So much money.
Every time, you pay more each time and you get treated worse, no matter the situation. And then you had, but in the speaking of the cold of Minneapolis, we stayed at some Marriott that was like a half mile from the Mall of America.
Yeah, same.
And so.
Oh, you guys were out there.
Yeah.
And so, like, the first day I got an Uber because I was like, I don't know. I didn't know how to get there. I was mocked, probably rightfully mocked.
Mm.
And then we walked it, though, and it's like, I don't know how to describe it. It was 10 minutes, but it felt like I was literally about to die.
Yeah. Mm. The closest I've ever come probably to death was after they lost. There was still like an after party, and I went to it, and I got on the wrong bus to get back to my hotel, and there was a few hotels in that area by Mall of America, and the bus went to a different one, and I got off, and the bus drove away.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to walk from that hotel in a place that I don't really know in the middle of the night.
Right.
My parents would not be happy listening to the story, but I'm like using my phone to try to find the hotel. I've never been happier seeing a hotel than walking in there and being like, I survived.
That's why they need to stop with the Super Bowls in cold weather places. Keep it in Miami, Houston.
Miami was fun, but it was
cold weather places are the worst.
But the thing about Miami was everything, Minneapolis was so far apart too.
Mm-hmm.
But like Atlanta, I loved because it was, you know, you weren't in an Uber for an hour something. Atlanta was perfect for
New Orleans this year. Like, keep it Miami, Atlanta.
Greg doesn't want to do New Orleans.
I want to do New Orleans.
I've never been.
Oh, I went for like 10 days one year for a NABJ conference.
Mm. Okay.
Very interesting.
Interesting
they sent
decision
me.
To send Courtney.
Yeah.
What, was Mark James busy or?
Well, I mean, Mark James would be a weird.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
But yeah, no. It was like 10 days in New Orleans for the National Association for Black Journalism, and I did the Nessun booth.
All right.
Well, God love it.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
let's
we
send
have a
the
question.
White girl.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like they were like, "You're gonna go." I'm like,
"Yeah,
I am."
Okay.
Let's
hear
from David. David has an important question about private jets. What's up, David?
Hey, good morning, guys. So you guys, you know, that's great. I'm glad you guys got the experience to have. You sound like a bunch of biffs.
Yeah.
Did any one of you got to say, would you pass the coupon, please?
No, I didn't do it. If I liked mustard, I might have did that.
Yeah, no, it's everything you dreamed. It's one of the few things that no matter what, you can't oversell it.
Yeah.
Like, there is no way to adequately describe just how amazing it is.
Hey, I'm trying to paint the picture for people that have never done it. If you ever get a chance to save you a couple bucks, just do it. You know, just it is amazing. You'll never it doesn't feel right flying normal now.
No, but I would never undo it. Like, I'm so happy. I it's not an experience that I regret having because it's so much better than everything else. It was that good.
Mm. I'm waiting to meet somebody who owns their own private jet. You know how they say,
Or you were at one's house very recently.
Right, but he doesn't, like, he's such a good guy, but I'm looking for a little bit more offers on. Any chance, you know, you want to go somewhere, just take some of my private jet hours or whatever.
Mm.
You know, you got to know somebody, but you really got to know them for them to be like, I don't worry about it. Take my jet.
Yeah,
that is F you money.
Me and Ernie are not on that page just
well,
soon.
I know. Soon. Maybe if you grill better.
I'm working on it. All believe right. me, I would love to be on that page.
So Courtney discussed this earlier. We've done it a couple days now. The big story about the Sicilian water spout accident.
Water spout tornado.
So they have now found the body of the British tech tycoon that was found guilty as one of those that perished in the $40 million yacht.
Jesus.
Just this morning.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the billionaire and his 18-year-old daughter, both bodies.
Oh,
Jesus.
Awful.
Yeah. And again, I said it earlier, but the mom in that situation survived and got out. So
was it like a big yacht?
Huge. It had 22 people on board.
And where was it? It was just
off the coast of Sicily. And it happened in the middle of the night, really early morning, where they got stuck in the storm. came out of nowhere, apparently, and then it sunk the boat. But people are sleeping inside, and you're trapped.
It can't. I'm sorry. It is awful that all these people that had nothing to do with it have perished. But this is not some random weather event. Impossible.
Wow.
No chance in hell.
There's videos, though, of the tornadoes happening. I don't know.
Yeah, so
Courtney
what do you
Cox.
I know.
But what do you think it is? Does somebody sink the boat?
Yeah, I think it was like something Jason Bourne-esque.
So somebody's got one of them underwater propeller things.
It is weird.
It's a little C4 to the bottom.
They were both acquitted on a multi-billion-dollar case.
Was there bad weather?
There was bad weather reportedly in Sicily the coast.
Isn't it very easy to find out?
Well, no. I mean, every time I Google it, it gives me videos of it occurring.
Right. I mean, the conspiracy theories, I'll give you the guy who got hit by a car, maybe.
Right. I'm sorry. I said guilty. I meant innocent. They were found innocent of fraud. One guy gets hit by a car.
I'll give you that one, maybe.
So what do you think the odds in Vegas are that two people that happen to be found guilty of billion-dollar fraud are both dead in random weather or car accidents within 48 hours?
Car accident, I give you, but the...
But back-to-back. Like, there's two people, two co-defendants. One died in England, and then a few days later, the other died.
It's impossible. If it looks like... Wiggy...
You're going way down this rabbit hole.
It's not a rabbit hole.
Yeah, this is...
Have you seen any of the Bourne movies?
I've seen plenty of the Bourne movies. Guess what? I've also seen the Marvel movies, and
I don't watch Marvel.
Yeah, I don't expect Captain America to jump off a roof somewhere and come down here.
It would be pretty cool.
It would be.
Yeah. The new Captain America, again, looks very, very good.
I would be fascinated to see how this happened. What are the details of the car crash? Was he struck? Was he driving?
But that I'll give you.
I know you'll give me that. But
a boat in the middle of the ocean.
It's not in the middle of the ocean. It's right off of Sicily.
So it's off the coast.
Off the boot.
Off the coast during a storm, capsizes, and people drown. You're saying that they somehow swam up to the boat or somehow were able to do some Jason Bourne stuff, drop some C4 on the bottom.
It wasn't a car accident. He was out for a run in England on Saturday when he was struck by a vehicle and died.
Okay.
All right, that I could see that. But you got to give me, other than the Jason Bourne, some guy swimming up to a boat, give me something better than that.
A captain knowingly goes in the wrong direction. I don't know. I didn't organize it. All I'm reacting to is the fact that two people in the middle of their life die on different parts of Europe.
Two healthy men. Who...
No storm. I might be able to, a boat just sinking at random. Let me go down this
How many other boats were, let's ask that. How many other boats were caught up in this water spout?
Were there other,
I'm sure there's more than one boat off the coast of Sicily.
Only one was capsized.
Only one boat in the middle of this crazy weather event. Mm-hmm. And it happened to be the guy whose company was, or who was just found to be innocent of fraud, while his colleague was just hit by a car in England and died.
I go down some rabbit holes, but this one, and if there's video of it.
I haven't been able to find video of the boat being stuck.
Let me give you this story, okay? My sister, when she was in college, one of her best friends was from, I'm not sure where, a Central American country.
Okay.
And they were, she came to find out, in some form of a mob or whatever.
Okay.
Her father, his cover story was that he sold hurricane lamps.
Okay.
Do you know what a hurricane lamp is? I didn't know before I was
no.
told.
No.
Those, like, clear devices that are right over, like, restaurant, the candles that they light up. They're just like these weird glass-shaped things.
Okay.
He died in his elevator shaft.
Okay.
That, once I understood everything, that was not him hitting the wrong button. Somebody that had been wronged did that. There are just things when you follow these stories.
Right.
And this is too coincidental.
There is a video that I'm watching now, and it's like black and white, kind of grainy, of the storm hitting the water, and you can see the sailing yacht, like the light on top goes out and then it seems like it disappears.
So, but we know there was a storm off the
coast. There was a storm,
So, I mean, it's probably more likely than not that it capsized and people were sleeping on it. And by, like you said, by the time they woke up, it might have been too late. I can't. If there's no storm, you might be able to get me to go down the Jason Bourne rabbit hole.
All right. Well, I mean, I just am trying to agree with Courtney that there's something up in the ocean.
There is something up in the ocean, and I've been warning people for months now, and everyone laughed at me.
It's Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
Well, because Greg, there was something so up in the ocean, he flew to Nantucket. He couldn't even trust the ferry.
Right.
We're going to wrap this puppy dog up coming up next. Thanks for sticking around with us today. Greg Hill Show. Greg will be back tomorrow. He's taking the Ryanair back from Nantucket later on. Jackson, did you do the poll?
Yes, I'm just about to publish it right now. It is what caused the yacht accident off of Sicily? Water spouts or Jason Bourne type dude?
There we go. We'll see the latest on that. Uh-huh. And everything I read confirms my initial suspicion that this was totally not weather related.
Something that was interesting, Wiggy and I were talking about during the break. The wife was in the same room as her husband. She got out. And I got a text from my friend's mom, Zoe. And she said the boat may have been anchored on the bow and the stern. That's the only way that could have happened. So it would be a huge, huge mistake by the captain or someone else.
The wife got out, but the daughter didn't. So not only did she take the husband down, she took her own.
Well, no,
kid
I'm
down.
Not saying that the wife. Like, I just, if you're in the same room, you'd think both would get out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very strange. I mean, these things are designed for us to never know what happens.
We'll wait till the Italian police do a full investigation.
The NTSB will be there. But we get back to a very brief here before we wrap. Where we are entering the last preseason game, I saw this on NBC Sports Boston the other night, Wiggs and Courtney. Are you confident? Are you content with where they are with Drake May? Did you expect more from Drake May, or is he underachieving where you thought he would be at this point of training camp after they took him third overall?
I expected more from the team.
Got it.
With Drake May handling.
That, like, they would have done more.
Like, yeah, all right, you're the number one guy. You're going to get a bunch of reps with the ones. Like,
right.
That's what my expectations were when you draft a guy number three overall. When they drafted him number three overall, at no point did I ever expect that he wasn't going to be starter day one.
Yeah, I didn't either. I thought that for sure. I thought the second they brought in Jacoby Brissett, that Brissett was going to be the guy that would help throughout training camp. He was going to be the big brother backup.
Yeah.
Because it's all he's been. That's his ceiling.
Yeah.
And so I have to say, there has been, Bedard was on social media, and he does make the side-by-side throwing of Herbert and Drake May.
Uh-huh.
And there is kind of a long wind-up bit with Drake May at times, but...
Okay, isn't Herbert pretty good?
No, Herbert's quicker. Like, he was showing...
You're saying...
Bedard was saying Herbert is more of a pro-ready guy because he's got a much quicker release. Right. But either way...
Right.
I am heartened by what I've heard from Jerod Mayo, and I really think that this has been offered. This has been to Drake May, go out there, here's the reps, earn it. If you play well, it's your job.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's all we could ask.
Yeah. I think that's why I said for Sunday's game, it's more about, and Jerod kind of said it, is he able to control the huddle again? Make sure the plays are right and there's no missed assignments, no delay of game penalties. False starts are not the quarterback's fault, 99% of the time. And if he's able to do that, then I think that they feel like, okay, or at least I'm under the impression that they have enough confidence in him to start him week one, knowing that there's going to be growing pains, like knowing that there's going to be issues, knowing that he's going to turn the football over, knowing that the line is kind of, all over the place. Like, but I think they feel like, all right, this will be a good learning experience for him.
Yeah, and he has to have the opportunity of a week of getting ready for a game, something Jacoby Brissett is. Whatever, he started 50 NFL games. I don't know how many he has. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this week, it's a road game. Their only road game gives him an opportunity to play in that environment. And then you have 2 weeks off. I do like that they stopped the fourth preseason game and then right into the NFL season. The gap between the two, I think, is helpful for the team because you can see more players.
Mm-hmm.
But I am still somewhat surprised that the Patriots are so overwhelmingly predicted to be the worst team in all of football. I think there was something like twice as much money has gone on the Patriots to be the worst team than any other team in the NFL. Do you think it's going to be that bad? Do you think they're going to be like a 3-4 win team?
Oh, God, please, no.
If Vegas has them at the over and under at 4.5.
Which is the lowest.
Yeah, right? And they only won 4 games last year, right? And you really haven't made any crazy significant impactful move in the sense of like where you go, they brought in this veteran, they brought in that veteran. Yeah, you drafted a rookie quarterback, but we all know rookie quarterbacks is for the majority of the time there's growing pains. And my expectations are, yeah, you win 3-4 games.
Like, how many wins do you think the Washington Commanders have this year with Jaden Daniels? 6?
Yeah, 3, you know, maybe
right.
4 or 5
wins. I don't know. I mean, the one indictment, the one area that Gerard Mayo could receive legit criticism about is if the defense takes a big step back.
Yeah.
And it's not just Judon related.
Right.
That there is, like, the Christian Gonzalez may be the sneaky biggest story that's negative. Mm-hmm. That gets very little coverage. I was on with Andy Hart last Saturday, and shockingly, Ken wasn't there. And he was saying that he has had a rough camp.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
And, you know, he's a guy that we all just sort of said was the next Sauce Gardner. He had a great start. He shut down Tyreek Hill, all that. And
yeah, I need to hear more about the rough camp thing, because after you've shown that you can play in real games, and I don't know how much I buy into the rough camp. Give me some more insight on that, but I have high expectations.
Well, in a couple of these games, in the actual preseason games, he hasn't been great.
Yeah.
He had a couple penalties, I think. I mean, either way,
yeah.
The one thing that Belichick did the best was find, develop, and build superb cornerbacks. I mean, whether it was Butler, whether it was winning a Super Bowl with a guy like Earthwin Moreland, whether it was Asante Samuel. I mean, that was the Christian Gonzalez pick was widely celebrated because of his skill set at that time. But
look at their schedule. And you look at their schedule, and granted, you know, they'll win some games. But you look at their schedule. Do you go like, okay, this is a game they should win? There were a couple of those.
Patriots?
Yeah, the Patriots.
They should win week 2 against the Seahawks. They should win that. I mean, I don't think they'll be favored, but if they're going to win a game.
But if you're not favorite, then how should you win a game?
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Like, and there's some people who think that they're going to hold Drake May till that game. So you're bringing in a rookie quarterback who's the first, if that happens, the first time seeing the field. Like, that could end up being much harder than.
Right. And yeah, can they win that game? Yes. But when you just sit there and you look at the schedule, you go, all right, like, even though you're not a Rodgers fan, week 3 in New York.
But so the Jets start to the season, if you want to feel optimistic, the only way I'm right is if they have a bumpy start. Because then Aaron Rodgers has already laid the foundation of how it's going to be Robert Saleh's fault. There's going to be infighting.
Right.
Hassan Reddick is not even with the team. They have Monday night at the San Francisco 49ers. That is a tough one.
Yes.
They likely lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go to Tennessee. That should be a win.
Yeah.
1-1. Then they have the Thursday. So they've been back and forth to the West Coast. They get in basically Tuesday morning for that next week.
Right.
Then they have another game Sunday and another game Thursday. That is a lot in the first 3 games of the season.
Right. And I get like where you're going with that. But when you look at their team and then you look at New England's team,
it's different.
Yeah, you go.
Oh, it's not even the same strategy.
Yeah, right. And then after the Jets in New York in week 3, you're in San Francisco.
Bad mojo, though. You could have a really great, talented team and bad mojo behind closed doors, and that could really come out.
I agree, but I'm just saying, just based off of looking at their schedule, when you say,
no, it's not even close.
How can they get to 6 wins? I look and I go, all right, yeah, they could possibly get there, but, and I think maybe Greg talked about this, they're not favored in one game.
No, they're not. And
a home or away.
Yeah.
Well, wait till they start winning. Then Vegas is going to change its.
So it's going to be, that's why I think it's going to be, you know, could they be one of the worst teams in the league? Well, they were almost there last year, so anything. Like KG said, anything is possible.
Amen. Football coverage on WEEI is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator at T-Mobile.com/switch. And a lot of very kind texts today, but we'll do one that's topical on the Subaru of New England text line. You can text the show at 37937. On the Subaru of New England text line, find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Tom Curran was on yesterday, 401 texter, saying Gonzo was getting cooked by Thornton in practice.
Oh, okay.
Not good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's not good.
We will see. But what is good is that this show is wrapped. Courtney, thank you. Wiggy, thank you.
You're welcome. Good job, Curtis.
Enjoy Jackson, your time off.
I will do my best.
Well deserved.
Enjoy the time with Greg tomorrow. I will see you all after Labor Day.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.